You're in Braves country.
Good morning, Braves country. Brunch with the Braves. We'll be doing this every Monday, 11 a.m. going forward. And Thursdays, we'll be doing these shows at 11 a.m. as well come football season, as we get a little closer to football season. We do the live show 3 to 5 as well, this show coming to you live on Mondays. And so will the Thursday show. But the difference being on the live 3 to 5 show, we've got so much stuff that we have to cover. A lot of times we can't get to everything we want to talk to about the Atlanta Braves. So we're planning on doing it on Mondays and then probably Thursdays the rest of the way. And that's mainly because those are two of the biggest days in the football world. You got the NFL starting on Thursdays. You've got the reaction to football on Mondays. So what we're planning on doing is doing this where it's going to be dedicated to Major League Baseball and your Atlanta Braves. All right, let's get it. The MLB trading deadline. And the Atlanta Braves have made a couple of minor moves so far. And I think what a lot of folks want to know is, where are we going from here, right? Where are we going to be sitting when we get to, we are, what is it now? It's 19 hours away from the trading deadline. And the Braves haven't done much. They've made a couple of minor moves. In case you missed it last night, they made a trade for Nicky Lopez from the Royals. This morning, they made a couple of moves in corresponding with other things. So A.J. Smith-Shawver has been sent back down to the minors. No shock there. He pitched okay. I thought he pitched much better later in the game. I felt like that he nerves was his biggest problem at the beginning. And I do believe we'll see him again later this year. He's not a part of the plan for the postseason at this moment, unless there just becomes an absolute emergency type of deal. So what the Braves are looking to move at this point, they put Nicky Lopez, and with Nicky Lopez, not only did they DFA Charlie Culberson, which was no shock, everybody knew that his days were numbered. He does not have what he used to have. And though he's a big clubhouse guy and everybody likes him, they're trying to win a championship. So if he makes it all the way through, I'm sure they will add him back to the roster, but we'll just see what happens. And then on top of that, the Braves have activated AJ Minter. So AJ Minter comes in, Nicky Lopez comes in, and in those corresponding moves, Culberson gets DFA'd because they had to add someone to the 40-man roster. I had to add Lopez to the 40-man roster, and then Shawver goes down because Minter's coming back up. I don't think you're going to see a lot of other things moving and shaking with the roster until the dust settles with everything else, because right now, the way we're looking at it, the Atlanta Braves, I still believe, are going to try to make two more moves in a perfect world. I think they're going to try to do something to the effect of maybe a starting pitcher. I don't think it's going to be any type of big name, but then also they've got to do something about the bullpen. They need, look, we're getting players back and it's going to help. Joe Jimenez, we talked about this on yesterday's broadcast. Joe Jimenez has looked phenomenal and he's really setting himself up to be one of the setup guys going forward. Minter will be back, so you got a righty-lefty combo. Iglesias is getting the job done at closer. We'll see if they add another closer type, and then it could be mix and match. Could be a closer by committee, or maybe Iglesias goes back to a setup role that he was in late last year, which I thought he did a great job there too. Some of these closers cannot be set up guys. Craig Kimbrell, mentally, if he's not closing, he hasn't gotten to the point of his career where he believes that he should be anything but a closer. But Iglesias embraced it, so we'll see what happens as far as that goes. But we're going to hit up some of these rumors. I saw the one comment about Verlander to the Braves. Why would they do that? And why would the Mets do that? The Mets do not want to trade someone of the caliber of Justin Verlander within their own division and have their fan base ridicule them for the next 2 years. To do that, to make that kind of move, it would have to be very similar to what the Mets did with the Rangers, which would be eat most of the money. With the Verlander move to the Rangers, the Mets ate $36 million. Now, when you add to what was going to be owed to Verlander over the last 2 months of this year and next year, it was right at $60 million. So they basically took on a little over half of what was owed. But that was to an American League team. And they got a very top, very high top prospect. If Verlander was available at that kind of deal, maybe. But here's the thing about Verlander. If he pitches 140 innings next year, which I know is a big if at his age, but if he pitches 140 innings next year, he can then exercise a third year to that contract, which is going to be worth about $35, $36 million. So what in the world would make Atlanta a landing spot for Verlander when you look at that? Because they don't want to bring him in. Atlanta, not at the price that they would have to pay. So if for some reason they brought him in, and let's say they go out and they save a bunch of money by getting the Mets to pick up money. What kind of prospects are we talking about? I guarantee you Vaughn Grissom's a part of that conversation. And it wouldn't surprise me if A.J. Smith-Shawver would be a part of that conversation. If the Mets were going to take on half of what's owed to Verlander, and you'd have to have it somewhere in the contract conversation of, well, if he hits 140 innings, you're going to have to pick up some of that too. So all that being said, you'd have to get two major prospects. Because you're talking about the Mets at that point. We'll just ballpark it. Say they're going to have to eat $50 million. They're not doing that for less than two major prospects. Guys like Shawver. Maybe you could convince them to take Schuster or Dodd. And I think Vaughn Grissom would absolutely have to be a part of that conversation. And remember, they just acquired Acuna's brother. Acuna's brother is being projected as an infielder. So is there even a need at that point? So I believe that most of this stuff is going to be kind of pie in the sky when you talk about that. Now let's talk about real scenarios. One of them that I think could happen is the Dylan Cease rumor. Now in a perfect world, I talked about this before, but I would have liked to have seen Dylan Cease and Tim Anderson. Because Tim Anderson hasn't had that great of a year. I think he would be happy with sitting on the bench and contributing when called upon and be a part of a winning environment, a much happier clubhouse. We all saw the deal when he was very unhappy in Chicago and he came to first base talking to his old teammate Abreu and said, "I hate this place." They tried to play it off, but we knew exactly what he was talking about. He was talking about the White Sox organization. So I do think Tim Anderson gets dealt. But now that they've added Nicky Lopez, is there really a need? If it's a throw-in as a part of a deal and they could get Anderson, they would upgrade. But Nicky Lopez, what he's being brought in to do, for folks who aren't familiar with him, he is going to be a bench piece for giving guys days off, giving them rest down the stretch, and of course, in an emergency injury situation, they now have a guy who can play short and suck it. And he's pretty good defensively. He's got good speed. And he's pretty good on the base paths. Has decent stolen base numbers over the last few years. So all of that kind of, to me, plays into they've got what they want and what they need right now. But would they upgrade? Sure. And they would see what they could or would have to do with Lopez at that point. The other big thing to me would be, and I don't really think it's a need, and it really dumbfounds all of us that watch these games day in and day out and see his effort and see his ability. Kevin Pillar, people keep talking about them needing a left field bat. Kevin Pillar is a phenomenal platoon piece in left field. They just have to start letting him play. Let's be honest. Eddie Rosario is as streaky as they come. I mean, we might as well call him Roller Coaster. He is as streaky as they come. And it's day to day. It's not week to week. Every few games he catches fire. It's basically he goes out there and runs into one or he's an ofer. Kevin Pillar deserves the opportunity to play more in left field, especially when we have a lefty on the mound. Yesterday, they played Milwaukee and got the big W, right? And got the sweep. And today on the 3-5 show, we'll go over all that. Today's show's this morning's show, Brunch in Braves Country, as we're going to call it here on Mondays. And if you're just joining us, we're going to do this on Thursdays as well as football gets close. I doubt we do one this Thursday. Braves are off unless there's something major that happens. If something major happens, we'll do it on Thursday. But as of right now, it's going to be Mondays and then Thursdays as we get closer to football season. But the Atlanta Braves yesterday get the big win. And even there was a spot late in that game where they had a lefty on the mound. And I was absolutely flabbergasted that they didn't put Pillar in. Pillar has played very well. And then if you look, and of course, what ends up happening with the Rosario, it was a wasted at bat. But even if he doesn't get the base hit, he's an upgrade in left field defensively. So I'm fine with starting Eddie Rosario every game, if that's what you want to do. But then later in the game, when he's not swinging the bat, well, in a game, if he's had a hit or two, I'm fine with it. Go. Let him go. Let's see if he can continue because he's that streaky. But in other games where he's 0-for, pull him out. Let's put Pillar in. And then even if it doesn't work out, he's a better base runner. He's a better defender. And against lefties, he's a much better batter. So this is what's going on here is we'll see if they make a move, but I don't think a move is needed for left field. I think the biggest thing, in fact, I know the biggest thing that they need to add is bullpen. And I would like to see them add a starter. It doesn't even have to be a couple of the guys that we're about to mention. Even a starter that can just eat some innings. Because what they're doing with Schauver, by next year, Schauver's going to be a part of their long-term plan. Assuming he doesn't become a part of a huge deal, which it would take a big, big piece for them to part with Schauver in the next 19 hours. I foresee next year, A.J. Smith-Schauver is going to be penciled in to be the fourth and fifth guy in that rotation. But looking at this year, I'd like to see them add a couple of guys, and it might be a lower-end starter, but we need a guy that can go out there and give you a good effort, a good outing, and I'm not talking about a Jake Odorizzi, because Jake Odorizzi had one good start. His entire time he was with us, he had one good start, and that's not going to get it done. And it was against the Marlins. Granted, it was the clincher, but it was against the Marlins. The Marlins offense was awful last year. It's a little better this year. But what I'm looking at is this. They're talking about Dylan Cease is going to get moved. I believe he is. That would be my number one with a bullet. Give me Dylan Cease. And if we can get Tim Anderson added into that, that would be great. The next one that they're talking about, and this one, I don't like it. First of all, I think Cody Bellinger is now off the market. I don't. They've even talked about how he's going to be off the market, how they're planning on going forward with him. And look, Cody Bellinger might actually get an extension with Chicago. We don't need a left-handed bat in the outfield. The other guy for the Cubs that they're talking about, that he could still go, because even though the Cubs are in it, they'd like to see what they could get for Marcus Stroman. We don't want Marcus Stroman. I'm telling you right now, the guy is not going to be a difference maker in October. And to get Stroman, you're going to have to give up a lot. Stroman has increasingly gotten worse and worse as the season goes on. Last year, he wasn't worth a flip. Not for the money that the Cubs have paid him. And then to top it off, he's known as not being a very good clubhouse guy. He's not a team guy, right? And if we're not going to have a team guy, that's not going to work in the Braves clubhouse. So that's what we're going at right there. So let's put that aside. I don't think we're going to get anything from the Cubs. Let's put that aside. We did get the addition last week. Wick came over that the Braves picked up off the trash heap. And honestly, I think Rowan Wick long-term could be a guy that could actually help the Braves. He's actually got pretty good stuff. I was a little surprised that the Cubs gave up on him, but I think that was more of a numbers game from my understanding than anything else. The guy that I want, the guy that I think is going to have, we have a realistic chance, because here's the deal. He can opt out. And assuming he doesn't get hurt down the stretch, and look, that's always the risk. He can opt out. And if he opts out, it's really just a two-month rental. And so because of that, I don't think the Braves would have to give up as much. He's being rumored to several different teams, including the Astros. Give me E-Rod. Give me E-Rod. Eduardo Rodriguez. He's a lefty. He's got a 2.95 ERA. He has 3 years left on a $49 million deal after this year, and they believe that at 30 years old, this is his last chance for a big splash. He's going to opt out. And even if he doesn't, what I could live with that. I mean, you're talking about a guy that would be at, 32, 33 by the time he left the Braves organization? And you're paying him less than what you pay Charlie Morton. The Braves could make that work. There'd probably be some wheeling and dealing and moving around. But remember something. At the end of the 2024 season, come hell or high water, Max Fried is most likely not going to be an Atlanta Brave. He's going to get a huge payday, and the Braves have just not shown the willingness to pay that kind of money. So this would set the Braves up with a good lefty for the next three seasons as well, if he decides to opt in. If he decides to opt out, who cares? So I really like that one quite a bit. Here's an interesting one. This news just dropped late last night, early this morning, somewhere in that neighborhood. Jack Flaherty has been taken off the probable list for the St. Louis Cardinals. He was scheduled to pitch Tuesday. He is no longer scheduled to pitch Tuesday. Why is that? The Cardinals, who are in a fire sale, essentially, they're going to move Jack Flaherty. This is an interesting one. I'm not as big on Flaherty. I've followed his career quite a bit. At one point in 2019, I thought he was the best right-hander in the National League. But wow, how times have changed. In 2019, the two best right-handers in the National League, we'll say three because at the time Scherzer was really dealing. It was Max Scherzer, it was Jack Flaherty, and it was Michael Soroka. And The last two that I name are basically on the trash heap. There are guys that are still trying to move. So Jack Flaherty to me is a guy who has lost it. If you followed him, look, I know he's a big name. He's a former All-Star. He doesn't have it anymore. He's gone through a lot of injuries, just like Soroka. I'm telling you, Braves fans, if the right deal comes along, be prepared. Don't get all up in your feels. Mike Soroka's gone. Michael Soroka will be moved if the right deal comes along. He only has one more year of control. Now, they may wait to do this in the offseason, but Soroka has 1 year of control left, arbitration year, and then he's an unrestricted free agent. Same situation with Max Fried. Obviously, Max Fried's the lead, and he should be coming back, I would say, Friday or Saturday at this point. So, the two main teams that are basically in a fire sale mode are the Cardinals, are the White Sox. Of all the players that are available for all those teams, I really believe that Dylan Cease is the difference maker. We saw him up close and personal earlier. The other thing that would be interesting is you've got Candelario, who is having one hell of a season for the Washington Nationals. He can play third base. He can play a lot of the corner positions, and of course, you can always DH him. I don't believe the Braves will be after him, but he is a hot name right now. And look, if you're the Nationals, sell high. Right? Jaime Candelario, I've always been impressed with him. If you ever heard us do any of the Washington Nationals games, he's probably my favorite National at this point. But I think he's more likely to go somewhere where they really need offense and he can step into a starting role. Somewhere like the Marlins, somewhere where, if they were still in the race, I'd say the Mets. Maybe the Mets could make a move for him, but it's looking more and more like the Padres aren't going to sell. I never really believed they were going to sell because that front office, they like to buy. They don't like to sell. But that's an interesting one right there. Teoscar Hernandez, that's another outfield bat from the right side that if the Braves really wanted to help things, that would be interesting. The Mariners are out of it essentially. And I do believe that they'll be making a move for him. Now, here's the thing. Most folks have him going to the Blue Jays, and I could see that fit because he came from there. Dalton Varsho has not been what they thought he was going to be, and it would probably be a situation where they go, and if you're a Blue Jays fan, you're looking at Dalton Varsho, Brandon Belt, and then a combination of Hernandez. And though, yes, sometimes you can't go home twice, I don't hate that deal for them. The other name, I saw this float around last night on Braves Twitter, Mark Cagna coming from the Mets. I don't think the Mets are going to do a lot of moves in division. I know they made the deal with Robertson, but that was a deal where the Marlins were willing to take on his deal. If they make a trade in the division, pretty much how it goes in Major League Baseball, pretty much how it goes is if you make a trade within your division, the guy that makes the trade wants to really stick it to the team he's trading with. Meaning if you're the seller, you want the buyer to get more. So if you're the Braves, if you're the Phillies, if you're the Marlins, typically, if you make a trade with the team of the Mets or the Nationals, they're going to be asking more of you than they would from, like, let's say if they made a move with the Cubs. I think Mark Cagna does get moved. I think Tommy Pham gets moved. I just don't believe they get moved in the division. I've seen rumors of Cagna to the Phillies, Cagna to the Braves. I'm not a huge Cagna fan. He's got a club option next year for 11.5. He's okay. He's solid, but this is just the way I feel about it. Because of the defense and because of the speed on the base pass, I would much rather have Kevin Pillar out there in left field. Another one. Now here's a guy that I like for the Braves. I also think the Giants could be in play. I think a couple other teams could be in play. Michael Lorenzen from the Detroit Tigers. He seems like the type of player that the Braves would bring in, because it's not in Anthopoulos' MO to go out and get the big splashy sign. But Michael Lorenzen kind of brings in what you want, is a right-hander that can eat some innings, that can get you into the fifth, maybe even the sixth inning. He's had some bad outings, but he's had some really good outings. He's been solid since the beginning of last year. And Verlander would be the next one that everybody wants to talk about. Once again, I just don't think Verlander to the Braves makes a lot of sense for anybody involved. The Braves, it's not in their DNA, not with Anthopoulos, to go out there and sign an old overpaid pitcher who has an option for 2025 at $35, $36 million, just in case you're just joining us. To go out there and sign him, the only way that happens is if the Mets go out and make a deal where they're like, you know what, we'll take all his money on if you'll give us, we'll say, Vaughn Grissom and maybe another prospect. If you missed it last night, by the way, the Angels made a deal with the Rockies. They brought in Crone. They brought in Grichik. So those are a couple of names that the folks have been rumoring as well. Yesterday, also, the Rangers added Montgomery. That was an interesting one. The Rangers are going all in. I just don't know if they're getting the pieces that's going to take them over the top. It might get them an AL pennant, but Scherzer doesn't scare us anymore. I mean, I haven't been concerned with Scherzer since we pounded him in 2021 when he was with the Dodgers. We owned him in 2022. And we kept the papers in 23. I'm not worried if Scherzer's out there on the bump on a World Series stage against Atlanta. Montgomery, he's a solid pitcher, but he's not going to blow you away. The Braves offense, and here's the thing. I saw folks talking about how they really wanted to see Anthopoulos make a big splash, a big move. He's already done that. Anthopoulos likes to do it at the beginning of the season. His big move was bringing in Sean Murphy. His big move last year was bringing in Matt Olson. And those have turned out pretty good. There are other teams that believe in, we'll see where we're at the deadline, and then we make a move. But Anthopoulos likes to look at the long haul. And Alex Anthopoulos is not using this job as a springboard to go elsewhere. He's home. And he wants to – he looks at it 5-10 years in advance. And basically what Alex Anthopoulos is doing, he's out there playing chess while the rest of them are playing checkers. So he's always several moves in front of us. And when you look at – some of the other things that are possibilities, I saw someone today, I don't remember who it was, but there were two writers going back and forth, and they were saying that they would have liked to have seen him keep Schauver up and release Yanni Chirinos. That's still a possibility, but it's not like Schauver was going to pitch on Wednesday, Thursday. If we don't get a deal done, we're looking at the possibility of either them bringing someone up or whoever they make the trade for could pitch on Wednesday. Because right now that's up in the air. I believe that what we'll end up seeing, so just looking at what the Braves schedule looks like in the immediate future, because that plays into what they're doing. The Yanni Chirinos thing, they're keeping him around if they don't make any other major moves, and long term he'll be in the bullpen. He's not going to be in your starting rotation. But I still think the Braves are going to make a minor move, but I do believe that they're going to make a move in the starting pitchers. We'll get into those possibilities here in 1 second. But today it's Charlie Morton. Tomorrow they have listed as Spencer Strider Day. And then Wednesday, which is the 12-20 game, right now it's Yanni Chirinos. But Chirinos, in all likelihood, is the odd man out if they don't make a major move. Or they could pull someone out of the bullpen and get rid of them. Because the guys that you're looking at right now that are on the team, that are on the roster, right, that are at this point going to be looking at, well, who's going to be here and who's not going to be here and what are they going to do, et cetera, et cetera. The guys that are available to kind of get taken off this roster, I believe Pierce Johnson's here for the long haul. I don't think they went out and got Pierce Johnson to let him go. He had a shaky outing the first time, but they put him in a bad spot in Fenway. He looked really good the other night against Milwaukee. So I like his stuff, but Daisbell Hernandez could be gone. I'm not worried about Ben Heller, to be honest with you. I think he just had a bad outing that one time, and other than that, he's been really good for us. You look at some of the other guys that are Yanni Chirinos. These are the guys that they're going to be kicking to the curb. But when we get to the actual trade part of it, and you're looking at what the Braves could be doing, if it's not a big asking price, I don't hate Flaherty as long as we don't have to give up a whole hell of a lot. If we have to give up a whole hell of a lot, then I'm not really loving what we're seeing. But looking at where we are right now and who could be available, the Braves are going to be looking for a minor arm. And there's a few out there on the scrap heap, including, by the way, if you miss it, Jordan Hicks did get dealt. I know that was a big thing that everyone was talking about. He was dealt to Toronto. And everyone's assuming that Hicks is going to be the setup man once their closer comes back, Roman. But I'm not convinced of that. Hicks has much better stuff. But regardless how you look at this, the Braves are probably going to be in the market. They would love a lefty like E-Rod. That would be the number one wish list for me, would be to get Eduardo Rodriguez. The other guys that I'd be looking at is, if you go through who's available and the teams that are out there, and obviously the biggest thing is you got to look at the standings. The teams that are selling, the teams that are going to be out of it. I think the cutoff there, if you're looking at, now that right there is the major league standings, but if you look at the NL wildcard standings, the Mets are obviously selling, and the Padres, though they probably should be selling, I don't think they will be. Pittsburgh will be selling. I would love to get Keller, but I do believe with him still under control for a few more years, that's going to be tough. Same thing with Bednar. Hader's not going anywhere. San Diego's not selling. They have their front office believes it's all in. And now that they're within, what, 5 games of the wild card, they believe that they can catch. And they've won 3 in a row. Had they lost the last 3, maybe. But the Padres, they don't sell. St. Louis will be selling. I do not think that there's a difference maker per se for the Cardinals, but they do have a couple of bullpen pieces. And as far as the American League, this is where it gets really interesting. So I'm going to cut it off at where the Angels are, because the Angels are obviously not selling, though you can make the argument that they should think about it. But they just went out and grabbed Lucas Giolito, who's a solid arm. Cleveland could be selling, and that's the one big name that I wanted to get to today. What would it take to bring Shane Bieber over, who has, I believe, what, under control till 2024? Shane Bieber could be going. E-Rod is definitely being dealt. That's going to be the highest bidder, and I think that's going to be one of those things. Unless someone just blows them away, that's going to be one of those ones where they are going to say, hey, how about we take a look at the best that we can get, and right there at the end of the trading deadline, I'm talking about the 6 o'clock hour, 6 p.m. Tuesday is when the deadline ends. That could be it. That could absolutely be done for. And then the other teams that are in that sell mode, Dylan Cease, Kansas City and Oakland really don't have anything that you're going to get excited about. They do have some bullpen pieces. But to me, the biggest dogs on the block right now, obviously Verlander, for anyone that would sign him, he's more of a guy that's going to give you 5, maybe 6 nowadays. But they're usually pretty consistent, usually very good 5 or 6. But it's a big dollar amount. So you're either going to have to spend the money or you have to spend the prospects to get them. After that, to me, Dylan Cease and then E-Rod. And there's a part of me that would kind of rather have E-Rod because he does have big-time playoff experience. He's a lefty. And I've watched him pitch several times this year, just randomly would turn on and go, oh, okay, E-Rod. And he's pitching out of his mind right now. The Braves add one more starting piece and one more big bullpen piece. I would love to have Hader, but he's not coming. All the rumors that we heard about the Padres possibly selling Juan Soto, which I never believed that one. But because remember, when he got traded last year, That big package was because he is under contract till 2024. And I don't think Soto is anywhere close to signing an extension because he's had such a terrible year that he wants to bet on himself and next year have a better statistical year going into free agency. But if you could get E-Rod, if you could get Bieber, I think those two are actually, or Cease, I think all three of those guys are actually gettable pieces. They're going to be a little expensive. You're probably going to have to say goodbye to Grissom. You're probably going to be saying goodbye to Soroka, which I'm fine with at this point. Michael Soroka, I don't see turning it around and being the stellar starter by the end of next year, which is when he becomes a free agent. And if he does, we're not going to be able to afford him because the Braves don't do that. So you might as well make him a part of a package to bring in someone to go for it this year. And as far as teams that will buy and sell at the same time, I think the Red Sox will buy and sell. I think they're going to kind of go for it, but if the right piece comes along, they'll also sell to help build up their farm system. And the guy that I like the most for the Red Sox to most likely move would be Adam Duvall to the Atlanta Braves. You get Adam Duvall added to the Atlanta Braves, I don't think it affects Pilar in any way, shape, or form unless they get him in the deal. I think Sam Hilliard would be the odd man out at that point. And though I like Sam and I really like his glove and his ability on the base paths. He doesn't have the greatest stick. So that could be a move where the Braves get a little better. And Adam Duvall can play every single position except for what, short and second. There's the only two positions. Oh, and of course, catcher. Yeah, Gavin. I mean, that's not even close. Cease and Soroka. Soroka at this point, if he wasn't a beloved Brave, we'd be calling him a scrub at this point. He throws floaters in there that get pounded. His fastball's low 90s. He was elite in 2019. But two, you can even say three major injuries. He's a shadow of his former self. And though he could always turn it around, I mean, you can't totally give up on someone all in all because, hey, if Julio Teheran can turn around and put together a pretty decent season this year like he did, anything is possible. But Michael Soroka is going to be a free agent in 2024. What are you holding him on for? Even if we don't get a major piece, I would love to see the Braves move Soroka and get a younger arm with more control to develop him for the foreseeable future. Maybe it's a team that wants Soroka to eat some innings for them the next couple of seasons and says, hey, we'll take him on. We don't need him for the postseason rotation, but he can go out there and eat some innings for us. I think Soroka most likely is going to find himself, unless things desperately change in his velo and his hard hit rate. I believe that he's going to end up in the bullpen somewhere down the line. And that's a project for a team who doesn't have its eyes on the World Series. That's not an Atlanta Brave project. That's not a Los Angeles Dodgers. We are world champions from just two seasons ago. We need to have bigger aspirations than saying, hey, we can't give up on Soroka. He might put together a couple starts here and there. That is 2015 talk. This team for the next 6 or 7 years has real opportunity to go after it and win it all. To go after it and win the whole damn thing. And when you look at the players that will be available, the Braves, to me, it's going to be all about arms more than anything else. And it's going to be about controllable interests that they can bring in, because you're going to lose the ability to have guys like Max Fried, which is a much bigger priority, and guys like Soroka next year. Fried's not going anywhere this year, but I do believe in the offseason there's a good chance that he goes. But when you look at some of the players that are available, and an interesting one, but I don't think – I saw this rumored last night before we jump off here. An interesting one that I saw last night was that they were talking about possible – Paul DeJong, and this was shortly after the Braves made the trade for Lopez. So that's probably going by the wayside. But DeJong is an interesting one because he can play all over the infield. He can even play a little left field. And that would be a phenomenal add. You can get a Paul DeJong. It's an upgrade in the backup position in the infield. And he's a solid player that could honestly come up with big hits in October. Because though we don't expect them to change the starting lineup much for the rest of the year, including October, there's going to be times in October where we're going to need a big hit off the bench, and I would love to have a Paul DeJong. I just don't think it's realistic. The other team that you got to keep an eye on, I don't think they'll sell because it's not in their DNA. What about the Yankees? I think the Yankees are going to go out and try to do something pitching-wise. Could we sucker the Yankees into taking Soroka and maybe grab one of their projects that hasn't worked out, Gleyber Torres? Gleyber Torres Doesn't have a great glove, but Gleyber Torres can still hit, and he would be a great addition off the bench. So there you have that. Just wanted to touch on that today. We'll go ahead and get out of your hair, but we're going to do these on Mondays. Monday mornings are going to be primarily Braves talk, Major League Baseball talk, as we're going to have Braves or brunch with the Braves, excuse me, here on Braves Country HD. We'll be back at 3 o'clock today, 3 to 5. We go live. And today we're going to be talking more MLB trading deadline and get into a couple other things. But tomorrow, so you know what's in store, we'll have the live 3 to 5 show reacting to all the trade deadlines. I would assume that is just going to engulf the show. We are doing every single game this week, by the way. So tonight, 7:20, we welcome in the Angels and Shohei Ohtani. Hopefully he's able to come back out and play. I'd really like to see him play. He was taken out for cramps yesterday, so that he should be okay. Whether or not they give him a day of rest will remain to be seen. But today and tomorrow, it's all about the trading deadline. And then Tuesday night, game's at 7:20. Trading deadline ends at 6. We're going to come on with the pregame show a little earlier than normal, probably around 6:30. Because though the deadline happens at 6, all the information usually trickles in by about 20 minutes, 25 minutes after the hour. Because any kind of last-minute deadlines, as long as they get to the league office, that's all they need to do. And then everybody starts going. It's what happened with Iglesias last year. We found out about Iglesias in the 11th hour. So tomorrow, 6:30, will the pregame show will come on. So we'll be reacting to that. But the next couple of days, 3 to 5, we're going to be hitting all the rumors. That's what I'm doing between now and 3 o'clock. I'm going to do some research and also talk to a couple of guys in the know that I think can kind of give us an idea where the Braves are going. But we're going to talk all trade deadlines. So if you're a fan of other teams, you know, by all means, this is where it's all going to be cracking down, because we're in a crunch now. We're almost 18 hours away from the deadline. And with all intents and purposes, the Braves have done nothing. And they're the favorite to win the World Series. If they are complacent and do nothing the rest of the way, they're still going to be the favorite to win the World Series. But I don't like the idea of not adding something. All right. Y'all have a good rest of your morning, and we'll see you today at 3 o'clock here on Braves Country HD.